Alright, it is good to see everybody. We just sort of have one announcement before we're going to jump into the message. Next Friday night, we're going to have ourselves a little party karate. And I know I probably call everything that, but the idea is, I know we haven't this year had a party yet. So we're going to bring back the Velkomu Tennis Club. The idea is, we got a DJ booked to rip up the decks for us on the night. So it's going to be a great time. There's going to be different elements. There will definitely be music. If you want to dance, you can dance. There's going to be fires available, weather dependent. So there will be fire if you just want to feel like, man, I just want to bring my chop and my voice and just come for a braai, you can do that. And there's going to be chill area as well. So really, if you feel like, man, I'm not a dancer, I just want to come and fellowship and have a great time of connecting with brothers and sisters and bring out friends along, whatever it might be, you can do that. So we're really going to bring back the party spirit next week. It's $50 per person. That gets paid at the door. So there's going to be no collection before then. You can literally just rock up on the night. It starts at 7 o'clock. And if I could please ask, we're going to keep the doors open for maybe, doors will be open all night. But if you want to come, to come as close to 7 as possible. Because sometimes the counters kind of sit there the whole night waiting for people to come. So if we can maybe make sort of a cut of maybe 7:30 or you know, 7:45, and saying that that's done for the book. So if you can't be there at 7, try and get there as close as possible to 7. And really is going to be a super fun time, I think, for all of us. So I hope you're excited. It's going to be a good time. So yeah, that's kind of it. Have a look in Matthew chapter 13. You know, we've been, I feel like we've been having great sort of devotionals throughout this year on many different topics. I think the one that I missed that we did in February, James did that, on really how to read the Bible in a deeper way, and really challenged us to get deeper in our convictions and get to know the Bible in a deeper sense, which I do think is so important for us as disciples. I think then Ron and Linda Brumley really spoke about the relationships that we have in here. And what an amazing privilege it is to be part of God's kingdom. And that we got to love one another and have deep friendships. Last time we spoke about being a man and a woman that stand in the gap. And that, boy, as a singles and as a campus ministry, we always, there needs to be part of us, part of our DNA, we need to feel like, man, I want to be a man and a woman that stand in the gap. Whatever that gap might be. Maybe sometimes that gap is my fellow brother going through a tough time. Then I want to be a man and a woman standing in that gap between him and God, saying, I want to help them get closer. Maybe sometimes it's the lost, where you have work colleagues or strangers or whatever, where there's a gap and a separation between them and God. I want to be the man that's standing in that gap. And tonight we're going to talk about something here in Matthew chapter 13. Let me just get there. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. You know, when I read a passage like that, that describes the heart that I have about finding the treasure in the field, which is God's kingdom. This really describes my heart, that I feel like when I stumbled upon the treasure of God's kingdom and got to know God, I was just full to the sense where I felt like, I'm willing to do anything just to be close to God. I'm willing to give up anything just that I could be part of His kingdom, be part of His people. You know, there's kind of a photo here. I remember the day that I got baptized. I don't know, for some of you that might be a while ago. For some of you that might be very recently. That was the day that I got baptized. I remember that day as clear as anything. It's Woodbridge Island. There was about 3 to 4 foot wave that I surfed before I got baptized. To the right is Vanna, to the left is Justin. There was a group of disciples gathered, I don't know, maybe about 10 people that I didn't really know very well. I remember this day. I remember every detail of it. I didn't understand all the names of God and the theology and the inside outs of everything possible. But one thing I knew is that I was dead in my sin, and that through baptism I could be resurrected and raised to a brand new life. That is the man that feels like he has found the treasure in the field. I felt like when I came out of that water, I could not. I remember that feeling coming out of the water thinking, it is done. The world has been crucified to me. I mean, here I am living a brand new life. I found the greatest treasure ever. I get to be united with God. No, it's amazing. I mean, I remember that day. The man that stood in the gap for me when I was completely separated from God in my life of sin was Justin and Ben. They were the men that somewhere God moved in their hearts that said, you know what? I want to take this 20-year-old young guy from campus and I want to somehow bring him closer to God. Now, those were the men that stood in the gap. You know, but I could draw a line. This day would not have been possible if it wasn't for probably the greatest transformational moment in my life. And that moment was when Justin, a complete stranger, walked across campus and said, my name is Jay, I would like to invite you out to a Bible discussion. That is the single biggest transformational moment in my life. You know, him deciding, a complete stranger deciding, I want to reach out a hand and help this guy. I didn't know him from a bar of soap, but he decided, something was stirring in his heart, moved in his heart, to be able to do that. But you know, I'm not the only guy that had that transformational moment. There are a number of us in here that have had that. And I just want to ask some of those guys to share.
In 2008, a sister from Los Angeles, California, decided to knock on my door and invited me to church. 2 days later, I studied the Bible, and 2 months after that, I got baptized. So, yeah.
Before talking, I was studying at Santa Barbara, and there's a sort of a common place in the middle of campus called the White Line. And I was just walking past there, and it was like a stranger. Lauren, you know her, who I'm not just going to say to people, but she stopped me and she invited me to Bible class. And at first Bible, they invited me to study the Bible, and about 8 months I dropped
the
Bible.
Amen. Amen.
I was also met by that about 9 years ago. I was a Catholic, campus, walking across campus, and by a person invited me to a long discussion. I said I would go, and I didn't go the first time, and he phoned me again.
Nah. Amen.
About, it's going to be 12 years.
Come on.
Okay, I was meant to other campus at UWC, but it's amazing how God worked, because actually I was part of a club at home, and one of my coaches was a disciple, so he invited me to church. So I went to church, but everything was on underage. My family, they refused that I get baptized. But I remember telling them, saying that, you know, when I can make my own decisions when I'm 18, then you know, I'll sign up. So obviously I still went to church, but I was not so committed then. But that was like in Eastern Cape. And then I came to Western Cape to varsity, first year on campus, 10, 18. I was approached by this woman, Kathy, and she invited me to do Bible studies. And then I'm like, oh, I know that. So I was scared, because for me it was like confirmation only. This is what I think. Obviously I didn't believe that time, but you know, again, God, yeah, I am 12 years now.
Amen. Come on.
I was walking on the red line and came from Master College of Law, so the stone was on. She came to me and said, "Hi, do you want to come to Bible study?" And the stone just said, "Okay." So I said, "Yes," and I gave my number to her, and she, I got next week, I got an SMS. And I thought to myself, I can't not go because I went and gave my number to her. So I went to the meeting and Lauren, and Lauren asked me to study the Bible, and it was about 2006 March, and I studied the Bible, and 2007, 19 of them.
Amen. Come on.
I work in a area shop in Willowbridge, and in 2009, Yandy kind of just walked into the shop, and it's like a very tiny shop, so you're bound to like talk to a person. And she talked to me about jewelry and jewelry, and then kind of we have interest in book. I was doing Bible college at that time, and so she just looked very interested in everything, and then she asked me if I wanted to go for coffee, just to look like we clicked. I said cool, and then we went for coffee and more spiritual talk and everything, and and then she said, "Why do you have Bible studies?" And I was like, "Cool, I like a study group and everything." And then I did the Bible studies, and then in 2010, last year, and in June.
Amen. Last year, come on.
And I think it was 2004. I met Benny through his sister, who worked with him along with me, and she invited me to supper at their place. And with Benny's brother-in-law was my boss at the time of Corona. So I went for supper and met Benny for the first time, and we had a nice chat and everything. And then obviously, he invited me to Bible talk and to church, but I was very settled where I was. So I was like, why should I go? I didn't really have a need at that stage. I was very disappointed from that. I've had lots of contact with him, and then I came to a point in my life where I didn't have a church at all, and then I was looking around, didn't feel comfortable wherever I went, and then I went to some different things, and then he just popped into my head one evening, and then I thought, let me just SMS him, because we've been through similar experiences, and we can discuss it, and then he invited me to a social in a funny revolver. It was a camp space in the year 2008. So there was a social camp space each week, and James was there, and Maura was pregnant with Andrew. And yeah, I met Shaw and Curtis. I met Marika and quite a few people, and then I still didn't come to church, and in February one evening it happened to be like the last Sunday of the month, and I just SMS'd Benny when it says services, and no, there's actually one this evening, and I was like, okay, cool. And then I was quite encouraged to go, because everyone had been so friendly and welcoming when I met him at the
reception.
Sure. And I knew I was going to know some people. Help. We're going to Bible talk, and then we're going to the Bible. And yeah, in the 4th of November 2008.
Come on, that's awesome. Amen. Yeah.
About a year ago,
John hit me
on the
wire thing.
Ah, it's on
stage, dude.
Yeah, and then, he was like, yeah, and I was in another church, so I was like, yeah, I'll be fine on my own, just need church, school. And then, like, during, and then I never went to the
you might be, but I never went because I was pretty ignorant. And, during the year, I was lost. It was very bad. And then, I think it was exactly the same spot. John and James stopped me. And then I recognized him, but he didn't recognize me.
Oops.
This was, I think, August. Months later, and then I was like, not again. And then he mentioned, school Bible discussion, and afterwards everyone just chilled and have some snacks, and I was like, snacks. I kind of forgot about it, but then he phoned me like the night before, and I was like, let's just go. During that Bible talk, I just realized these guys don't know what they're talking about. Like, I've never seen, like, they don't mess around. It's not stupid feet. These guys, this is a real thing. So I'm studying the Bible with Jock and a couple other guys, and then this year March we got baptized.
Come on, man. Alright, thanks for that. Now, I don't know what happens in your heart when you hear stuff like that. You know, it blows my mind how that works. That, let's take Laura, that some strange lady next door walks over and knocks on a door, invites her out of church, she goes to church, studies the Bible, comes a disciple, and here she is in Cape Town. It just blows my mind. And I think what gets drilled into my heart over and over again, when a stranger meets someone off the bat and invites them out to a Bible discussion or to church, is you realize that God is continually at work. He is continually at work, working in people's lives. You know, in John chapter 4, it's a great story. You don't have to turn there. I'll just... it's the story of sort of a Samaritan woman and Jesus. And kind of to the end of the story, he has his little interaction with his disciples, and he says to them, don't you say 4 more months before the harvest? And he says these powerful words, I'm telling you, open your eyes and look at the fields. You know, the harvest is ripe. You know, it's one of those stories that just kind of demonstrates how clearly Jesus saw what was happening around him. Now, Jesus, as he moved around, saw these transformational opportunities in the lives of people right around him. And that's the charge that he gives these disciples. And I believe the charge is the same for you and me today. That open your eyes. Open your eyes. Don't say someday. Don't come up with your clever plan or how am I going to do it or my strategy or whatever it might be. God is at work. Open your eyes. See the field. It is ripe. Now reach out. And you see this in Jesus' ministry. You see it throughout the book of Acts. See how God works with the Ethiopian eunuch. He does all the preparation. He does all the work. And then all he tells Philip is, I want you to go down to the road that travels, I think it's between Gaza and Jerusalem. I just want you to go. So he goes and he sees his chariot. Boom. And it happens. You know, but God is continually at work. You see it through the book of Acts, how God is preparing the field, how God is always working relentlessly to pull people closer to Him, and then He sends disciples. He says, I want you to go. The field is ready. The harvest is ripe. Open your eyes and notice it. You know, tonight, I believe that that transformational moment of some stranger just walking across campus changed my life. That was the single biggest transformational moment. And you are not talking about... I don't know how to say this. It's my life we're talking about here. I don't know if that makes sense. When I say that, I feel like it's the single greatest moment that turned me from darkness to light. That changed me from a dead man in my sin to being resurrected to a new life. Single greatest moment. It's my life. You know, tonight what we want to do, and I know for some of you, you've heard this and some of you have had discussions about this over the last couple of weeks. But we want to put before everybody tonight, for us as a singles ministry and as a campus ministry, is to open our eyes and see that the field is ripe. And to offer transformational moments for other people and standing in the gap for others, to invite others. So here's what we want to put before everybody. And we've spoken about it as sort of small group leaders, and in your small group you probably discussed it. This is the first time that you're hearing about it tonight. That's okay. But what we want to put before everyone is for the next 30 days, starting from tomorrow, is to invite a person a day for the next 30 days. And all that is literally it's an invitation out of the church or an invitation out of Bible Talk, a discussion. You take your pick what you want to invite them to. But the idea would be for the next 30 days for us to, as a group, collectively decide, man, and we want to pull together. We want to work towards this. And we want to walk around with open eyes and look for opportunities and give transformational moments to other people. Alright, now, this is not, just to be very clear, this is not to replace relational evangelism. This is not for the rest of the year. This is not a new teaching or anything. This is literally just for the next 30 days, for the next month. For all of us to kind of, I think, collectively decide, man, we want to do something. We want to make an impact as a ministry together. You know, really what it boils down to is if all of us decide, let's say 50 or 60 of us in here decide, that's what we're going to do, just invite one stranger a day for the next 30 days, we would have given about 1,800 transformational opportunities to others.
Wow.
If less of us decide that, we would be able to give 1,500 transformational opportunities that can literally flip someone's life from darkness to light. I feel like you're talking about me. That could have been me. That could have been a changed life. But I know as I say this, maybe you've heard it before, maybe tonight's the first time. My guess is there's probably a lot of reactions as you hear that. As you hear kind of the challenge or the call or whatever you might call it. My guess is some of us feels, amen, you know, this is what I've been waiting for, man. Come on. I want to do this. I want to do something great for God. Some of us feel a little bit hesitant. Where, you know, I'm not sure, man. I've not really done that in a very long time. You know, approaching people that's a complete stranger to me. I don't know. Maybe you feel fearful. Maybe you feel like, I don't know. My guess is there's probably a number of different reactions as we sort of put that forward. And that's okay. To have different reactions to that, that's okay. My guess is as well, how you respond and react tonight versus to how it works a couple of days from now and a week into the 30 days, you're going to probably go through a number of different responses. Some of us might start off feeling excited about it, and then day three, day four, you know, you kind of run out of gas. So some of us might start off slow, and you start realizing, you start just inviting out different people, and boy, your eyes just start opening up to different opportunities that God is bringing to you. My guess is we're going to have a whole host of different responses. But my guess is what it's going to take for us to be able to make a decision tonight to say, all right, man, I want to do that. You know, as an individual and as in my small group and for us as a ministry and as a collective, all my guess is it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. Not faith in you, not faith in your ability, but probably faith that God is at work. That as you and I are sitting here tonight speaking to one another, as disciples, God is at work opening up people's hearts, as He was mine. Having faith that, boy, if Jacques can change, and if you can change, anybody can change. Okay, not through what you're going to say, or through your clever conversations, or whatever it might be, or your tactics, but through the power of the Bible, and through the power of God. My guess is that's what it's going to take. For us to make a decision to say, sign me up. It's going to take faith. My guess is going to take courage. Next 30 days. As you hear that, you might think, geez, that sounds like a daunting thing. You know, to remind a stranger or to meet someone that I don't know from a bar. So, my guess is going to take courage and boldness. It's going to take doing risky things for some of us. But it will take courage to do it. And my guess is it will definitely take perseverance. I don't know about you, but oftentimes my faith and my courage is so shallow sometimes that it's affected by how people respond to the invitation. And I think last time we spoke about a man and woman that stand in the gap, keep going even though things don't pan out. And I think again, that boils down to focus, that you and I got to have a focus on God, a razor focus on Him. That this is not, regardless of whether people say yes, I want to do it, regardless of whether people respond or not, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep being courageous. I'm going to, man, you know, even if it's day 16 and no one's responded well, day 17 will be different. And even if day 17 is not different, amen, I'll keep going day 18. But my guess is that's just going to come knocking on every one of our doors. Because there will come a time where you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to quit or am I going to push through? And it will take perseverance, you know, from all of us. But I believe it can be a great time for us in the singles and the campus ministry. If we all make a decision to say, no, I want to offer, as so many of these individuals had their lives turned upside down, I want to offer a transformational moment to someone else. Just an opportunity, that's it. Whether they take it up or not, that is their thing. Amen. So that's really what we want to put before everybody. And before I sort of go into just sharing maybe a couple of practicals, and my guess is at small group level, some of you have had different conversations that have come up with different practicals about things that you can do. I'm just going to share some very basic things, and then I'm going to give us an opportunity to have a bit of a coffee and a tea break, and then break up in smaller groups of two and three and just have a time of prayer together. Really putting it before God, saying, you know, this is what I think. God, please help me with this, and I'll sort of share as well what we can pray about. But I do think it's important to have that. A couple of practicals here, and some of you have been around, so this might not be new. Maybe for some of you, you feel like, hey, this is the first time I might embark on something like this, to invite a stranger a day for the next 30 days. You know, here are some practicals that I do believe can help us for you as individuals and at your small group to start talking about. You don't have to do these things. These are just some things that can help you. I think the first one is to pray about it every morning. If God does not do something, nothing will happen. I think often, I'm not talking about doing something in other people's hearts. I think very often it's in our own hearts. And I think it is so important for us to be able to every day, to start off the day by praying about it. By putting it before God. Saying, God, you know, today, I want to find an opportunity. I want to find someone that I can either invite to church or out to a Bible discussion. That God, help me. Help me to have faith. Help me to have courage. Help me to persevere. When I have that moment where I know the Spirit's prompting me, help me to decide to open my mouth. Help me not to be discouraged or, you know, if they say no. Help me to be focused completely on you. But I think we've got to start off by praying about it every morning. Second practical, I think, that can really help, and I mean, this you just see throughout the Scriptures and the way that Jesus does it, is to go two by two. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm just more courageous with a buddy. It just helps me a ton to have another brother next to me, and I can say, dude, this is what I think. This is what I feel. Can we go together? You know, maybe it is getting together directly after work for some of you. And if you haven't had an opportunity, or you really just sit at the office and you've invited everybody there, maybe it's, man, I want to go out to the mall and invite someone. I want to go shop somewhere and meet someone. I want to, whatever it might be for you, but it helps sometimes just to go together. So I think to pair up two by two, not necessarily just go together, but also to pair up two by two to speak about things. How did it go? You know, what happened? What took place? How do you feel, man? Just encouraging one another. I mean, it's just so part of God's design for us. But to go 2x2. And the third practical is probably to think for yourself where to go to invite people. You know, strangers or people that you've not invited before. Now, there's probably two ways that you can do this. Number one, and this is the one that I would propose, is to share or invite as you go. I believe that God has put you on a certain track and has put you on certain situations on a daily basis. All that changes is whether our eyes are open or not. And what I want to propose is as we go. So whether I'm going to class, whether I'm going to work, whether I go and shop, whether wherever it is that I walk with open eyes, you know, and invite as I go. That's the one way. The other way is probably to make a decision to say, I'm going to go out of my way, meaning I don't normally shop at that shop, but man, I want to invite someone that I don't know well, so I'm going to go shop there. Now I'm going to stand in the queue and I'm going to pray, God, please put someone in front of me, put someone behind me. Do something, but pick where you'd like to go. Fourth thing is probably where to invite them to. My experience with this is you got to read. By looking at the individual, by having a conversation, maybe you don't even have a conversation, you just invite them out point blank. You got to pick either church or a Bible discussion. My guess is, because that's really what we want to aim for, you know, inviting a person a day for the next 30 days. And you definitely want to carry on with relational evangelism and doing that. This is just a very special month that we want to put before God and pull together as a ministry. But to decide, you know, would church be more applicable for them? Would a Bible discussion be more applicable to them? But to figure out where to invite them to. And my guess is for work colleagues and work, I think church is probably a very good place to invite people to. Sunday is not necessarily something out of the ordinary. It could just be, hey man, we really have a great church service coming up, and I'll tell you about that just now, but you know, I just want to invite you to come after that. Alright, but to pick where to invite them to. The fifth one might be incredibly obvious, but I very often underestimated the power of following up with someone after you've invited them. Now, in order to follow up with them means that you probably need to get their number or some contact detail of some sorts. Either an email or a telephone number or whatever it might be. So as you invite them, our faith needs to be in God, but there's also a lot of power in following up. So it might be, hey, you know, I would like to invite you out of church. I would like to invite you out to a great Bible discussion that we have in my house or at a friend's house of mine, whatever it might be. Would you be interested in coming? Absolutely. I'd love to. Ah, cool, man. Well, maybe, you know, I don't know if it's okay with you. Maybe I can grab your number and just give you a reminder or drop you the information or whatever it might be. But, I mean, that's essential, the guy's key. If a guy says no, I would not try and strangle his number out of him. So, no means no, but to get a number or some contact detail that you can follow up with him. And then the last one is really, again, up for you to decide in your small group, but I do think that this can be very powerful, is to either make a booklet or a sheet or have a little book where you write names in or whatever it might be, instead of having just it on scattered pieces of paper. You know, day one met so and so, they said they're keen at church and there's their number. So you can keep track. Let me tell you, day 16, day one's going to be a long way away, and to have some booklet or a sheet or I don't know, whatever you want to use, and fill in the name, fill in their contact information, and make a note about what they actually said. Did they say yes to Bible discussion? Did they say yes to church? When would they like to come or whatever it might be, so that you can follow up with them. Alright, those are some practicals. Also, and you guys need to say whether this is something that you'd be interested in. I also think what's important for us is to be able to meditate on scriptures as we do this. To be able to get God's word and God's desire into our hearts as we walk out and we invite others. So it's something that we started putting together, sort of a list with different scriptures that all of us can be able to meditate on together for that day as we walk about. It's not substitute for your quiet time. It's not a whole Bible study on it, whatever it might be. It's literally just a passage that all of us again can look at the start of the day, pray through, meditate on, reflect on, and then kind of apply it as we go. So if you guys are keen for that, we can maybe put a list together, send it out to everybody so that everybody can sort of have the same scripture to focus on for that day. Does that sound like something that would be cool? Cool, so those are just some practicals. I don't know if we should open it up to really ask if there are any other practicals that you guys think can work. My guess is probably the best thing right now is for you to think about it and, you know, speak in your small group about, man, what you can do, who you'd like to partner up with, how you can encourage one another every day, how do you want to do it? Maybe you would decide, man, we want to get together every week to pray together as a small group about this or whatever. But for you guys to get together and to brainstorm some practicals on what you want to do for the month going forward. And the idea is not a solo effort. The idea is not just, Jacques's going to do it. The idea is really for all of us to make a decision together to say, hey man, for the next 30 days, that's just what we're going to do. We want to make a decision, and I'm going to talk to who I need to talk to and come up with practicals that I need to come up with. But this can really be an amazing month, a really magical month of May for us, where we can really give tons of transformational opportunities to others. Amen?
Yeah.
Alright. Maybe we can have a break and have some coffee and tea, and then I'll just grab one sort of minute of your time just to let you know what we can pray for, and then decide to couple up sort of three or four people, and then we're just going to have a time of prayer. Everybody, it's not going to be a quiet time prayer, but everybody just having a time where we'll open up the different classrooms where you can just grab a corner and we can pray together, and then we'll close out with a joint prayer and we'll call it a night. Amen. Why don't we grab some coffee and tea, and then we'll get going.